بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأتم الحج والعمرة لله قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام الحج عرفة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My respected ulama ikram, brothers and sisters in Islam, and dear listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a natural, easy, perfect deen to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a perfect, complete deen, as explained and elucidated to us by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and practiced by the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajma'in, who watered the rose garden of Islam with their blood. Respected brothers and sisters, in this lesson and discussion, there are many points I will be mentioning, and most of them will be in threes. So you try to memorize it, or you try to write it, or get a tape later. When a person decides to go for Hajj, then from home, inshallah, he should try to make dua daily, perform nafil salah daily. Ya Allah, make it easy that I intend going for Hajj. Secondly, he should try to repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before even going, pay his debts. And if he owes anybody money, return the money. If he has harmed someone, go and seek forgiveness. However, remember, to have festivals and parties before going for Hajj is futile, vain, and extravagant. You get no sawab for those activities. Thirdly, when you are at the airport, it is requested that don't take the whole village and go to the airport. Leave the village at home. Go alone. Try and go alone to the airport. And also that it has become the order of the day that embracing goes on, hugging goes on. And those females which are not supposed to be held and hugged by the males, that goes on. Person is proceeding for Hajj and he's holding fair mirrors in his arms and going for Hajj. Also, on the day of Arafat, after the dua in Arafat, then in the camp or wherever, in whichever group you are, sometimes what happens, a person in Ihram, he begins to hold and hug other women, which is baseless, and unfortunately there is sin in that activity. Person, he goes for Hajj. Hajj means to intend. Hajj means to return. Hajj means journey. A journey of return. A person is going, and inshallah he will return like a newborn baby, sinless. A person, when he goes for Hajj, his intention should be that he's going to drop his sins, he's going to leave all the sins, he's now going to become a good, practical, righteous Muslim. And a sign of an accepted Hajj, the ulama ikram write that when a person returns from Hajj, then inshallah he will become a regular performer of Salah. Three places a person generally goes for Hajj. He goes through Jeddah to Medina, then to Mecca. And there are three types of Hajj. One is Ifrad, or the second is Tamattu, the third is Qiran. ifrad means that you are going to put on one ihram and make the Hajj. And qiran means that you are going to make the Umrah and the Hajj, the Umrah and the Hajj with one ihram. And tamattu, which generally South Africans we perform, that you are going to make the Umrah with one ihram, remove the ihram, and then you will put another ihram on for the Hajj. You proceed to Madinatul Munawwara, inshallah. Madinatul Munawwara, the activities that you should do there are basically three. One is abundance of durood and salam upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, tilawat of Quran. And number three, salatul jamaat. In Madinatul Munawwara, you give salams to the three great personalities in Masjid Nabawi, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Number three, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In Madinatul Munawwara, you visit three qabristans. One in Masjid Nabawi, secondly, the Jannatul Baqi, and thirdly, the Shuhada of Uhud. In Jannatul Baqi, ulama say that you should go to the grave of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu first, then to the grave of Hazrat Ibrahim, son of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the remaining graves. In the graves of Uhud, visit the graves of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Usayb ibn Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first muallim sent by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the first pledge of Aqaba. In Madinatul Munawwara, try and visit three masjids. Visit three masjids, in fact. Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Masjid Ijaba. Masjid Ijaba is behind, on the road, Shari Khalid ibn Walid, in the inquire from them, near the Oberoi, past the Oberoi, past Green Palace Hotel, along that area. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made three duas there. Ya Allah, do not destroy my ummah by floods and epidemics. It was accepted. Ya Allah, do not destroy my ummah by famine. It was accepted. Ya Allah, do not destroy my ummah by disunity and discord. That was not accepted. Respected elders, so you visit Masjid Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Masjid Ijaba, and Masjid Quba. After Madinatul Munawwara, you will proceed via Bir Ali, as Maulana Abdul Rahim Khan and Maulana M.S. Banu explained, that you will put on your ihram in Bir Ali, at a place called Bir Ali. You will put on your ihram there. All facilities are found there. There you must be careful that the ladies, when they go inside and when they come out, because there are hundreds of buses there, each bus looking alike, each entrance looking alike, you get confused and lost. So make meeting points the way you would meet. The person must make his ihram, put on his ihram. Remember, there is the two pieces of ihram. That's a cloth of ihram. That is not ihram. Ihram means that it's a state, it's a condition. You make intention of ihram. You put on those two pieces of cloth. The ladies remain in the same clothing. You make two rakats of namaz. Then you take out your hat and make the intention, Ya Allah, I put in the ihram for Umrah, make it easy for me. Remove the hat, read the talbiyah, read the labbaik, now you are in ihram. The ihram for the men lies in the exposure of the head. The ihram for the ladies lies in the exposure of the face. South African women are constantly in the state of ihram. After that, you will proceed from Bir Ali, go to Makkatul Mukarrama. At Makkatul Mukarrama, go and relax, get your luggage in your hotel. After that, now you are going to go to the Haram. The first site of the Haram, the Kaaba, your dua is accepted as explained by the Maulana. The dua that generally I make and I advise you to make is when you see the Kaaba, you say, Ya Allah, accept my present dua. Ya Allah, accept my future dua. Ya Allah, accept my past dua. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let all your duas be accepted. Then you proceed and you are going to make Umrah. There are two farz in Umrah and two wajibat in Umrah. The farz of Umrah are ihram and tawaf. The wajibat of Umrah are Safa, Marwa, Sa'i, that is, and halak, for the lady slipping off a little bit of hair. The talbiyah will stop as soon as you start your tawaf. The first three rounds for the men, that you will make ramal, that means you will walk briskly, moving your shoulders a little bit. If there is a crowd, then the ramal lapses. There is no dumb, there is no penalty for that lapse. And you leave your right shoulder open, it is sunnah to do so. You may cover it after the third round. The ladies do not have to make ramal and tag along with the husband. After that you go, make dua at multazam, drink some water, make your ninth istilam. Make your ninth istilam and then proceed to Safa Marwa. Go to Safa, as Maulana explained, looking towards the Kaaba, a little portion you can see, it is not Faraz Wajib or Sunnat. Go up there to the mountain and little up to that mountain and start your Safa. Seventh round you will complete at Marwa, make dua, then go and remove the hair, and you'll be out of Ihram. You can wear normal clothing. Now you will wait. You will wait for the days of Hajj. In the interim, remember that there are three famous mountains in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Jabal al-Kubais. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith, when Jabal al-Kubais disappears, await the day of judgment. Jabal al-Rahmat, Jabal al-Kaab, Jabal al-Nur also, where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the cave of Hira is on top of that. You may go there. Abundance of tawaf is better than abundance of umrah. Between that time and Hajj, you can make umrahs. However, try to make a lot of tawaf, be regular in salat. In Safa Marwa, there are three important points: Mount Safa, Mount Marwa, and the green lights. The green lights, the men folk will go a little bit faster. There are three famous wells in the Masjid Haram. One is the well of Zamzam, one is Bir Daud, towards the Masfala side, the basement, and there is another well which you cannot see, it is inside the Kaaba. There are three important points to look at when you are in the Kaaba, when you are in the Haram. One is the Maqam Ibrahim, one is the Hatim, and one is the Multazam. The Hajar-e Aswad, respected elders, and from the Mount Safa and Hajar-e Aswad and Mount Marwa, there are three channels of water running to feed the well of Zamzam. Try to read before you go to Madinatul Munawwara a book on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that when you go there, you can value the importance and the significance of the personality of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can develop love for Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Try to read some book on the history of Medina and Makkah, so that when you go there, you know what you are doing. The books available on Hajj and Umrah, you should read. Books by Maulana are written, Maulana Banu has written, Maulana A.R. Khan has written. We have translated many books of this, of Mufti Ashiqilai Bulanchari, Kitab al-Hajj, Kitab al-Umrah, Dua for Hajj, Umrah and Ziyara, Hajj Made Easy, all those books are available. On the 8th of Zil Hajj, because basically I am here to describe to you how you are going to perform the Hajj. Makkatul Mukarrama is called Makkatul Mukarrama because previously it was called Bakka. Bakka meaning central point. Makkah is central point. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the central most point of the earth so that the spiritual rays and celestial rays of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can go equally towards the entire mankind. Madinatul Munawwara is called Madina because it is blessed, it is pure, it is wholesome, and it is a purifier and cleaner. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Madina purifies. And towards the end of, towards the year of Qiyamah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that there will be three earthquakes in Madinatul Munawwara, and the kuffar and the hypocrites will be removed from Madinatul Munawwara. Just as how the rust is removed after heating from the iron.
and sinners are removed, and evildoers and transgressors are removed from Madinatul Munawwara, just as salt is dissolved in water. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. On the 8th of Dhul Hajj, now you will proceed and put on your ihram. As I explained, ihram is the same. Remember that a person going for Hajj, he must go with the females must go with the mahrams. They must go with the mahrams. And brother-in-laws are not mahrams. And the cousins are not mahrams. And there is no such thing as that I'm going to proceed now with my brother-in-law and my husband is following. And my brother is coming later. And the meaning of mahram means that the person who's accompanying the lady, he must be with the lady all the time. Not that the ladies are doing the shopping in the bazaars alone while the husband is sleeping in the room. When we go to the Haramain Sharifain also, the men must take the women folk to the Haramain Sharifain and leave them in a safe place. And as soon as in both harams, when the pushing and the pulling and the jostling starts, then it is better that the women folk read the salat in the rooms. The whole of Makkatul Mukarrama is haram. The whole of Makkatul Mukarrama is haram. So the women folk reading and performing their salat in their rooms will get rewarded adequately as stated in the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember that the more we value those places, the more sawab we'll get and the more we will respect and honor it. The more labbaik, the more talbiyah a person reads, the hajj becomes easier, the umrah becomes easier. And those places wherein dua is accepted. Dua is accepted while you're making tawaf. Dua is accepted in multazam. Dua is accepted while drinking zamzam. Dua is accepted between Safa and Marwa. Dua is accepted at Muzdalifah, at Mina, at Arafat. So a person must value these places and realize that he has come right there, he has spent so much money and gone there, he should not engage in futile talk and vain activity, especially sit in the foyers of the hotel and philosophize how to solve the problems of the world. No problem of the world gets solved when the person's time gets wasted. A person must avoid ignorant people and also the common folk, unfortunately, who become ulama ikram and muftiyan over the period of travel. It is rather said that South Africans, when they leave either Durban or Johannesburg, as soon as they leave there, they seem to take a correspondence course on Hajj activities. And when they arrive into Jeddah, they are Molanas. And when they get into Medina, they are muftis. And when you meet them in Makkah, they are grand muftis. And we who try to study and educate people, we do not know whether we are coming or going. Respected brothers and sisters, understand something, that Hajj masail are difficult. And that is why it is always preferable and necessary, in fact, to keep a reliable, pious alim who knows about Hajj in focus when you are in Medina and Makkah. And I must clearly and categorically state that the travel agent is not a Hajj expert. And the Hajj agent is not a Hajj authority. And the common man is not a Hajj authority. The Hajj authority are those ulama who have been for Hajj also. And who have experienced the Hajj and who know the masail of Hajj. And we have been making Hajj for the last 5-6 years consecutively, and every year we come across problems that we cannot even answer, and we have to consult with other ulama and then make some decisions. So on the 8th of Dhul Hajj, inshallah, you will put on your ihram. And when we do the walking Hajj, because we do not use the muassasa facilities, we do not use the muassasa facilities in Arafat, we have got a different procedure, then we request the hajis that you bring along 1 meter rope and a bed sheet and napkin pins. And also a long umbrella to help you in the sunshine, and you can use it as a walking stick also. Remember, dear hajis, that you have paid for your transport, you have paid for your accommodation. Those 2 drafts which have been spoken about, $116 and $119, that by those two drafts you have paid for your transport, you have paid for your accommodation. So do not let someone come and tell you that I am arranging for you transport, you must pay again. and I'm arranging for your accommodation, and he gives you master's accommodation, and then he recharges you. Unfortunately, the Haji, he becomes so generous and he begins to give his money away, not supposed to be given. So remember, your accommodation has been paid for in Mina and in Arafat and in Muzdalifah. Every Haji, his accommodation is on the floor and the sky is his ceiling. We generally, outside the walking tunnels, gather at 4 p.m. on 8th of Zil Hajj. And from there, we proceed via the two tunnels. There are two tunnels that lead to Mina. These are the walking tunnels. Remember the walking route. On the walking route, there are no vehicles. There are no buses. And there are no motorbikes. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who says that he has got a desire in life to make the walking Hajj. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who says that he would like to make a wasiya to his khandan that they should make the walking Hajj. And remember that Makkatul Mukarramah, while we are there in Makkah and Medina, we should respect and honor the place. It is reported about Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that when he should bring his servant, he should bring his attendant to Masjid al-Haram for Salah, then he should not scold him or not chide him. And if his servant did something wrong, then Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he should stay at Tan'im. Tan'im is where you go and put on your ihram for Chota Umrah, small Umrah. Outside the haram, you will hear them calling that make Chota Umrah, small Umrah. They are taking you to the nearest miqat from Makkatul Mukarramah, which is called Tan'im, where there is Masjid Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he should go to Tan'im, where that is outside the hudud, the boundaries of Makkatul Mukarramah, and then scold his servant. So while we in Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara, we should avoid and we should abstain from quarreling, fighting, gossiping, backbiting, and deceiving and lying. So on the 8th of Zil Hajj, we back, we are crossing those two tunnels in the state of Ihram. And after crossing the two tunnels, then we stop and we make our Fajr Salat. It is still in Makkatul Mukarramah, it is still in the Haram. Although the better thing to do will be to go and make your Fajr Salat in the Haram. Remember, if you are deciding to make the walking Hajj, then you must make your group, you must organize yourself, and remember, it is easy, it is the most cheapest and rewarding. Generally, they are calling for 2,500 riyals to be paid in to make 5 days of Hajj. Now I hear they want 3,000 riyals to perform the 5 days of Hajj. 2 years ago, this 5 days of Hajj, it cost us 50 riyals. 1 year ago, it cost us 34 riyals. And last year, it cost us 10 riyals because someone had sponsored the food for us in Mina. So where is 2,500 riyals and 3,000 riyals and 50 riyals? So you will go and make your group, and in your group try to get an alim, a practical alim, a knowledgeable alim, who will tell you the masails of Hajj and teach you the masails of Hajj and also explain to you what is going on. The Sharia wants us to perform 5 salat in Mina. That is the Zohar Salat, the Asr Salat, the Maghrib Salat, the Isha Salat, and also the Fajr Salat. So when you walk past the two tunnels, then you made your Fajr Salat, that was in Makkatul Mukarramah, and now you proceeded. All those roads are so easy, they are tarred, and at every 100 meters, on the entire walking road, on every 100 or 200 meters, you'll find ice cold water to drink. And every 200 meters you will find there are toilets and showers. And every 1 kilometer there are clinics available on the walking route. There is no such thing that you will get lost on the walking road because everybody is going in one direction. How are you going to get lost? There is no such thing that you are going to die because there is no food on the walking road, because on the walking road the whole ummah is there to sell you food. All the shops, all the cafes are closed in Makkatul Mukarramah. They are proceeding with the Hajis. They are going to sell the food for the Hajis. So the shopkeepers, the cafe owners, and the restaurant owners in Makkah al-Mukarramah, where the Haji goes to Mina, he is there. Where the Haji goes to Arafat, he is there. Where the Haji goes to Muzdalifah, he is there. So everything is available on the walking road, on the pedestrian path, and you will not die. Just maintain and keep drinking water. Last year we made the walking Hajj. The youngest child that made the walking Hajj with us, her age was 8 years. And there was a person who had his baby in the pram. He survived. There is no such thing, respected elders, that you are going to do the walking Hajj, or there is another thing, you are going to go there and you are going to die. To go and die in Arafat and Muzdalifah, you have to be very fortunate. And if you die there, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. On the day of judgment, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the resurrection will take place and the people from Madinah to Munawwarah will be resurrected first. Then the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah will be resurrected. And thirdly, the people from Taif will be resurrected. We are proceeding to Mina. In Mina, you will go to the camp. The South African Muassasa camp is near the big shaitan. Either they put us near the big shaitan or they put us near the slaughter house. They love us. So you go, as the Maulana explained, and see the shaitan. In Mina, you will stay there in Mina, and I told you that you will perform now the Zohar Salat, the Asr Salat, the Maghrib Salat, the Isha Salat. Now, the Fajr Salat, I suggest what you do, you get up 3:30 in the morning, perform your Tawajjud Salat. And because the Jamarat, the Shaitans, they are at one end of Mina, you have to perform according to Sharia 5 Salat in Mina. And to stay in Mina for those 5 Salat is Sunnah. There are 3 faras in Hajj. One is Ihram. 2 is to be in Arafat on the night of Zilhajj for a moment of a moment. Thirdly, to make Tawaf Ziyarah. And don't forget Tawaf Wida is wajib. And after Tawaf Ziyarah, you can make Tawaf Wida if you are going to catch your plane. So you can make another Nafil Tawaf also, and it can be classified later as Tawaf Wida. So you get up 3:30, make your Tawajjud Salat, and proceed to the border of Mina and Muzdalifah. Mina is called Mina because it is a place where generally dirt accumulates because of sacrifice. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi has quoted his Bunya from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Mujahid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Mina is called Mina because of the spilling of blood and generally because of the flies coming there. And you see the boards there written Muna. That Muna actually is supposed to be Mina. The Egyptians wrote Muna. Those shaitans, they have been marked. Small shaitan, middle shaitan, big shaitan. Big shaitan, respected elders, it's got a half circle, semicircle. The other two shaitans, they have got a complete circle. There is a pillar and a complete circle. Small shaitan. Middle shaitan, pillar and a complete circle. The big shaitan, pillar and half circle. That's how you recognize. And the big shaitan is right near the border of Mina, Makkah. You will go to the border of Mina and Muzdalifah. In Mina, you make your Fajr Salat. So that means you have walked now. You have walked in the dark, not in the heat. You have walked from one end of Mina to the other end of Mina. You are at the border now. And as soon as the first time of Fajr sets in, you will make your Fajr and start proceeding to Arafat. Because this is your longest walk. And we suggest that after every hour, you sit and you rest. Because in an hour you'll be able to do about 4 kilometers. The distance between Makkah and Mina is about 4.8 kilometers. And the distance between Mina and Arafat is recorded from tip to tip as 9. But 15 you can say because you are going to go right into Arafat. From Arafat to Muzdalifah is about 5.6 kilometers. And from Muzdalifah to Mina is 4.8 kilometers. So, you will go to the border and perform your fajr. And as soon as you perform your fajr, you will proceed to Arafah. Drink a lot of water and do not speed and do not walk. Last year we had a group of 30 who walked, and they were not experienced without a capable leader and a guide. They walked swiftly without stopping from Mina to Arafat, and when he came to Masjid Namira, they sat down there. And they could not make any ibadah. So you will go into Arafat. When you reach Arafat, the sign is that you will come to the big masjid. The big masjid in Arafat is called Masjid Namira. And Masjid Namira, if you have an opportunity to go inside the masjid on the day of Arafat, remember that that masjid is so big that part of it is in Arafat. South African masters attend, demarcated by the South African flag. We generally go left towards Jabal Rahman. And there we look for a place and utilize the rope and make a superstructure using the trees and the corrugated sheetings. And thereafter we put the bed sheet on top of that and clip it with the napkin pins and sit under it. As soon as you go to Arafat, remember, do not start becoming super pious and righteous and start making ibadah. Rest there, go and sleep there. And as the Maulana explained rightly, there do not be over enthusiastic. So there you go and rest. After resting, after Zuhur, your wukuf starts. Meaning that now you should try to go out and try to go out in the sun and make dua and try towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for everything which is permissible. Make lengthy duas. And also while you're going, do not take so many kitabs while you're proceeding for Hajj that you'll have to carry the load, and in Arafat you've got no time to read all those kitabs. Make dua in your own language and make dua for those people who asked you to make dua, and do not forget us also. Mawlana Abdul Rahim Khan also, Mawlana Banu also, Sayyid Mullah was going to show you the slides also, and all those that organized this Hajj seminar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the Al-Ansar, the trust, the ability to tread the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take work from us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us righteous. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to serve the true Islam. In Arafat now you are going to make dua. And after Asr also, you stand now and make dua. And make dua for the entire ummah. Broaden your vision. Make dua for every individual. Make dua for the Mujahideen. Make dua for the Taliban. Make dua for the institutes, the Darul Uloom. Make dua for the DD activities. Make dua for the Jamaat. Make dua for the Khanzas. Make dua for every person who is doing good. Make dua for every person who is striving the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the sun sets, you'll hear a siren or a cannon, meaning now you can leave Arafat. Arafat is called Arafat because it's a place where Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he recognized Hawa. He recognized Hawa and he met her. Arafat means to know, to recognize, to acknowledge, to accept. If a person must go there and recognize his sins, he must acknowledge his sins, he must be aware of his sins and decide to plead before Allah and shed his sins. Arafat, a person must come to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognize himself, recognize the rights and the duties he's got towards mankind at large. So in Arafat, when the siren is sounded after Maghrib, then you will not make your Maghrib and Isha there. We generally do not leave Arafat after the sun sets. Now understand what we do. That we leave Arafat at 10 o'clock in the night. When we leave Arafat at 10 o'clock in the night, it takes us 2 hours to go to Muzdalifah. The road is open, there is no one on the road because the rush is gone. 3 million people are gone. And remember, out of 3 to 4 million people who are doing the Hajj, over 80%, over 90% do the walking Hajj. So the roads are busy. So when the sun sets, most of them are gone to Muzdalifah. We leave Arafat at 10 o'clock in the night because according to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi and according to Imam Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, that they are allowed to pelt the shaitan after midnight. So they will stand up in Mina at 11 o'clock in the night to they will stand up in Muzdalifah at 11 o'clock in the night to reach Mina where the Jamarat is to pelt. So when they leave Muzdalifah at 11 o'clock, then there is enough space there.
So when we come from Arafat at 10 o'clock and reach Muzdalifah at 12 o'clock, there is space there. You ask a Haji, he'll tell you in Muzdalifah there was no place. So when you leave a little bit late, you'll be able to come into Muzdalifah. As soon as you come into Muzdalifah, then you have made and you have rested in Arafat, you have made your wuzu, you got your wuzu, maintained your wuzu, hold your wuzu. Yes, if you are incapacitated, mazur, that's a different issue. So you come into Muzdalifah, as soon as you cross the borders of Muzdalifah, you make your Maghrib and your Isha. You make your Maghrib and your Isha with one azan and one iqamat. After that, you may break your wuzu if you require. Then you have something to eat, or you say you are at the border of Muzdalifah, you do not stop there, you are fresh. So from that border of Muzdalifah, because you have been walking in the night, you're not walking in the heat, now you proceed from the border of Muzdalifah right to the other border of Muzdalifah near Mina. And you will go past Masjid al-Mahshar al-Haram, where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the night of Muzdalifah. There are three masjids besides Masjid al-Haram. In Mina you get Masjid al-Khayf near the Jamarat. In Muzdalifah you get Masjid al-Mahshar al-Haram. In Arafat you get Masjid al-Namira. Masjid al-Namira, if you are in Masjid al-Namira, you are in the condition of Ihram. You are on the 9th of Zilhajj. You are behind the Amir of Hajj. Then you are allowed to combine the Zohar and Asr. Otherwise you will make the Zohar and Asr separately in your tent when the time approaches. At the time of Zohar you will make Zohar, at the time of Asr you will make Asr. At Muzdalifah, you will proceed from one end of Muzdalifah in the dark, right to the other end. You'll go to a bridge called King Faisal Bridge. And before that, you'll try to get a map. There are maps available, they are detailed. And at the King Faisal Bridge, you'll go and rest there. And the sleep of Muzdalifah, although it is 2 hours, you will sleep very peacefully. There in Muzdalifah, you pick up your pebbles, because you will stone the Jamarat the next day. In Muzdalifah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make tahajjud salat. In his entire life he made tahajjud salat. Tahajjud salat was farz upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Witr salat was farz on Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And usage of miswak was farz upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you are in Muzdalifah, do not forget, make one intention. Ya Allah, I am not making tahajjud salat, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make tahajjud salat. You will get shawab for following the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by not doing an action. You will pick up your pebbles. Wukuf of Muzdalifah is wajib. Wukuf period, wukuf time is after Fajr salat. After first time of Fajr salat, you stand up, make a little bit dua, cry towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the du'as of mine which were not accepted in Arafat were accepted in Muzdalifah. So Muzdalifah is an important place. Muzdalifah is another name for it, is called Maqam al-Jama. Because it is called Muzdalifah, and Muzdalifah is called Muzdalifah because it combines Arafat with, if it combines Arafat with Mina. Next day, as I told you, you will make your fajr the first time and make wukuf, which is wajib. Discarding of a wajib, the general rule in Hajj is that you'll have to give them. You'll proceed from there slowly, and that is a little difficult walk because there is 6 roads coming together and they're going all under the a sheltered area towards the Jamarat, towards the shaitans. On that day, you've got many activities to do now. That is why the Haji does not perform the Eid Salah. On the Haji, there is no Eid Salah. Meanwhile, after Ishraq, the Meccans, the residents of Mecca, they perform their Eid Salah. On that day, there are various activities to be performed. If we leave Muzdalifah after the wukuf of Muzdalifah, after Fajr Salat, then by 9 o'clock, you are near the Jamarat. Do not go and stone the Jamarat immediately, in a rush, in a hurry. There is no hurry, take it easy. Go there, refresh it yourself. There are a lot of bakeries and shops there. Go and drink, eat, have some breakfast, then go look at the big jamarat, because that's what you are going to stone. That this day you are really going to stone the big jamarat. We'll see how the movement of traffic is, how the people are moving, what's the flow, then go and stone. After stoning, then you will proceed to make qurbani. You either can make qurbani in Mina, or you can go to Makkatul Mukarrama and make it. It is better to pre-arrange these activities of qurbani, so that you know your qurbani has been done. And do not take the ladies now right to the slaughterhouse, because then they will slaughter you after that. Because it is quite hot there. And the walk is tedious and strenuous. So, after the qurbani, you make halak. These three things are wajib, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. And you do not follow the sequence, you'll have to give a dam. Rami and jamarat, qurbani and halak. So, generally, after the rami and jamarat, the penalty of the shaitan, as soon as you throw your first stone, your talbiyah stops. Your talbiyah stops when you throw your first stone. Then you will proceed to Makkatul Mukarrama to make your tawaf and ziyarah. And you can make your tawaf and ziyarah before your qurbani. So you go to Makkatul Mukarrama, and in the night it is better. I have noticed if you make it at 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the night, then it is quite easy to make your tawaf. You make your tawaf and you make your Safa Marwa. Opening of the right shoulder and ramal in Ihram is done in that tawaf, which is followed by a Safa Marwa, by a Sa'i. That's a rule. So after Safa Marwa, after tawaf, you go and make Safa Marwa. And if you cannot make Safa Marwa the complete, remember in tawaf, because the Kaaba is in the Masjid al-Haram, then you have to be in wuzu. In Safa Marwa, it is sunnah to have your wuzu. If wuzu breaks while you're making Safa Marwa, then it is permissible to continue. But if wuzu breaks while you're making tawaf, you cannot continue. You have to go and make your wuzu. So in Safa Marwa, if you are elderly, if you are weak, if you are feverish, and if you are sick, and you want to rest, then you can make Safa Marwa, you can go and make one ra. From Safa and Marwa is called one. Marwa, Safa, two. You can make two and sit down after that. And after 2-3 hours, go and make another two. In fact, you can make, after making 2-3 rounds or one round of Safa Marwa, you can go and come and make next day also and come and continue the Safa Marwa. After Safa Marwa, you take out the hair. Hair, remember, the qurbani first, then the hair. So you may have finished your tawaf and ziyarah, but still you not make qurbani. You must make qurbani, then you take out the hair. The halak. The ladies remove little bit hair, one fingertip. The bald people take the knife and pass it over the head. After that, you go back to Mina and stay. The remaining 2 days, the responsibility is very easy, and the duty of Hajj is very easy. That you are going to pelt the jamarat, you are going to stone the jamarat. Small jamarat, middle jamarat, big jamarat. First day. Second day, small jamarat, middle jamarat, big jamarat. After that, you go away to Makkatul Mukarrama. After the small jamarat, you will make dua. Face Makkatul Mukarrama, go on the side and make dua. For 20 ayats, duration, about 20 ayats. After middle jamarat, go on the side, make dua. After big jamarat, no dua. Next day, same procedure. After small jamarat, dua, 20 ayats duration. Middle jamarat, dua, 20 ayats duration. Big jamarat, no dua. And those near the jamarat, they are the pillars, they are marked in blue color, yellow color, red color. So you must say your family, indicate to them that if we get lost, then we meet at this yellow pillar, we meet at this red pillar, or we meet at this blue pillar. If you are there on the 13th, then you will stone again, small jamarat, middle jamarat, big jamarat, and go away to Makkatul Mukarrama. Your Hajj is basically over. But remember the 2 days that you are in Mina,
generally, unfortunately, South Africans tend to quarrel, fight, and squeal. I do not know, because maybe the bosses are kept near the shaitans. I do not know why the South Africans generally decide to wrestle and fight there. Hey, do not fight over your haji mat. Do not fight over your utensils. Do not fight over your clothing. Do not fight over petty things, and do not let shaitan spoil your haji. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, you will stay and make tawaf al-wida, which is wajib. And if you make nafil tawaf, and all of a sudden the travel agent tells you you'll have to go to Makkah, you'll have to go to Jeddah and take the plane, then that nafil salat, nafil tawaf becomes your wajib. Your nafil tawaf becomes your wajib. Your tawaf al-wida. If you discard your wajib, then you'll have to give a dam. Remember that ihram, if you are leaving South Africa and you put on your ihram, then do not make your intention for ihram until you are on the plane. Because generally we find every year Hajis are stranded here on the Johannesburg airport and they are said we are in a state of ihram. And what they do generally now, that because of some ignorant people telling them, they just take out the two pieces of cloth and they say we are out of ihram. Meanwhile, a person cannot do that. He must give dam now and to come out of ihram. And the dam has to be given in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in the Haram. So basically we have got this movement of Hajj. So the movement to revise again is from Makkah, M, to Mina, M. From Mina to Arafat, A. M, M, A. And after that you put five M's. From Makkah, one M. To Mina, another M. From Mina to Arafat, A. From Arafat to Muzdalifah, one M. From Muzdalifah to Mina, two. From Mina to Makkah for Tawaf al-Ziyarah. From Makkah back to Mina for the penalty of the shaitan the last 2 days. And from Mina back to Makkah to stay and make your Tawaf al-Wida. So the Hajj is easy, the Hajj is simple. It is our responsibility to learn a few things before we go for Hajj. Between the Rukn Yamani and the Hajr Aswad, the simple dua that has been substantiated in the Kitab, you read Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasanato wa fil akhirati hasanato wa qina azab al-nar. In the Tawaf you can read Quran, you can make zikr, you can make dua. So do not be afraid that when you look at all these du'as and say, no, I cannot make Hajj, then I have to learn these 100, 200 du'as. You go and make du'a in your own language and remember that do not do three things. Do not fight, quarrel. Do not do anything indecent and do not transgress the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I see a lot of papers are coming. Say, time's up, I need 5 days, not a more time. But basically, alhamdulillah, we have covered the whole 5 days. Remember that there are three farz in Hajj, three types of Hajj, there are nine wajibats of Hajj. You study a little bit, you discard a wajib, you have to give a dam, and stay away from ignorant people who claim to be scholars of Islam. They will definitely show you the wrong things about the Hajj and the Hajj laws. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to respect the places that we are going to. We are fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it possible that we go to Madinah to Munawwara, Makkah, and make the Hajj properly. And remember that when you return from Hajj, don't go to the customs and speak the first lie. What you brought from there, and you start speaking lies at the customs. Spoil the entire effort of Hajj by speaking lies at the customs. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that a Muslim must not get himself in a position of humiliation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah in the lives of the people who organize this Hajj seminar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant his ability to become practical and righteous. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
That was Mufti A.S. Ilyas who spoke to us on the making the walking Hajj. This is a live broadcast from the 45th cutting.
In pushing jostling, as I stated in my bayan, then the women folk should abstain and stay in the rooms and make their salah. Just as there are hadiths saying that the women folk should make their salah at home, then the Ahadith are stating that they should be exempt in the masjid also. So we say yes, the women folk also, they should go to the Haramain Sharifain. They have spent so much money and going there. And when there is separate facilities as which are available there in the Haramain Sharifain, the wuzu facilities, entrance exit facilities, sound is not heard, that there is complete separation. And therefore we say they should go there. Inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them. However, as soon as the pushing starts, they should stay in the hotel rooms. The question which was directed to Maulana Ayar Khan, that if a person goes for shopping to Jeddah and he comes back, he does not have to put the ihram on. He does not have to put the ihram on because he is within the boundaries of the Mikat. The third question, when the mercies descend, 120 mercies descend on the Kaaba, that is throughout the day. That is throughout the day. The hadith is general, and we will follow that rule that the mercies are descending generally. Firstly, the comment you made about the significance of Hajj, that because of time factors, we as speakers sometimes we elaborate on certain points and leave out certain points, but inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the ability to be on target next time.
JazakAllah. Just a word of advice to our brothers and sisters. If you have any questions, please keep them short and restrict them to questions. We have a number of queries which you have to answer. Maulanas, I mean, on the panel, we have various questions. I'm just going to address you with a few. First one is, when a woman is in ihram, she has to expose her face. One, is this true? Secondly, if so, what happens in the case of a woman who is in parda? And finally, how can she be allowed to expose her face to non-mahrams?
The question about parda and woman, that I forgot to mention this point, that if a lady wants to cover her face when she is in ihram, then she should wear a golfer's cap. Simple method is a golfer's cap. The only fayda of that cap is that the woman folk can take the cloth and put it over her over the cap so that the cloth does not touch her face. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala and her narrates that when they were in the state of ihram and strangers should pass, they should take the shawl and cover their faces. So the woman folk, they can use the golfer's cap or another contraption like that to cover their faces if they are observing parda. That will be good.
The next question is, when we stopped in Muzdalifah to pick up pebbles, my sister got very sick. We did not stay over. We went back to Mina. Is it maaf or must we give dam?
Your sister got sick in Muzdalifah, and because she got sick in Muzdalifah, she is mazur, incapacitated, there is no dam.
The next, I've got various questions here. One of them is, can a female make hajj for a male deceased or vice versa?
Hajj badal can be made vice versa. Hajj badal nafil law for us. A male can make for a female can make for a male.
And then, can you hold the Kaaba and cry because most people do? Is this correct?
To hold the Kaaba and cry is not proven in Shariat, and we should try to avoid doing such activities.
It goes on to say, how many days you must be in Mecca from Medina for hajj? And is the roads closed at any time for the Hajj season? I think it's how many days before Hajj must you be in Makkah from Medina?
You can be there one day before Hajj or the day of Hajj, no problem.
I think this one's been covered earlier. Is a lady allowed to go for Hajj with her brother-in-law as she cannot marry him? And what happens if something happened to her sister?
Ladies cannot go out for Hajj with a brother-in-law.
If you have performed your Umrah and you are out of the state of Ihram and you want to perform a second Umrah before the 8th of Zilhajj, where do you go to don your Umrah, your Ihram, that is, where is the Mikah?
You will go to a place called Tanim. Outside the Haram, there are taxi drivers shouting Chota Umrah. They take you to Tanim, Masjid Aisha. You put on your Ihram there and come back.
When entering the Masjid, you read 2 rakats Tahiyyatul Masjid. Must this be done only the first time when you enter or on every occasion?
If it is a permissible time for Salat, you will do it every time.
And after Qurbani, must you make Tawaf with the same outfit, or you can take a bath and change and then perform Tawaf for females?
You can change. After Qurbani, you can change.
The performance of Tawaf for Wida is, of course, wajib. However, is it pardoned for a woman who is in an impure state to leave without its performance due to departure date being set already?
Well, here I can explain that he recited a very big dua on the podium also, that it is pardoned. Make one dua, go outside the Kaaba, go outside the Masjid al-Haram, and stand outside there, one of the doors, and make dua.
If one is a single parent female, has no brothers and no uncles, and assuming no father, who can be her wali?
Try to look for a husband.
I want the program. One second. You got a question? What is the procedure for a woman who is unclean for tawaf al-ziyarah and tawaf al-wida?
She's not clean for tawaf al-ziyarah, she must wait. She must wait, her husband must wait too. And she must wait until she gets pure. When she gets pure, she makes ghusl, then she goes make tawaf al-ziyarah, then inshallah she can make tawaf al-wida also. She must not go without making the tawaf al-ziyarah.
Talking of the state of the woman, there will be a special address to the woman only by Dr. Bushra Akhtar, who is a gynecologist, on issues pertaining to them that will take place in the ladies' Jamaat Khana at 7 o'clock sharp. So when the men are proceeding for the Maghrib Salah, the ladies are to stay here and perhaps listen to this special address to women by Dr. Bushra Akhtar. This will answer quite a few of your questions as well. No, it will be only on medical issues. That's correct, only on medical issues. What is the significance of visiting Masjid al-Aqsa before Hajj? Is there any added benefit or reward for putting on ihram there and then proceeding to Makkah for Umrah?
There is one hadith. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about putting on ihram at Masjid al-Aqsa. There is great reward for that. However, if a person does not do that, he will not be sinful.
Please explain, why should one make qurbani in South Africa?
I forgot to mention this point, very good question. Remember that generally when we use the word qurbani during Hajj time, actually the technical word is dam shukr. And this dam shukr is for you to come out of ihram. And it is for your Hajj. If you are sahib and isab, then your normal qurbani you still have to do. So you may do it in Makkah, you may do it in Mina, or you may tell them, leave instructions at home, that during Eid al-Adha you must make a qurbani for me here also. This qurbani is the wajib, yearly wajib one. And the dam shukr is for the person in Hajj.
For the tamattu Hajj,
when you slaughter, obviously, if you slaughter here, you'll get some sawab. And you slaughter there, when you do a good action in the haram, in Makkah, definitely the sawab is going to increase 100,000-fold. So you rather do it there, and inshallah, your meat will be sent out to the needy people.
For tamattu Hajj, after performing the big Umrah, you go to Jeddah for a day or two. Do you have to re-enter Makkah and Ihram and perform Umrah?
No, you do not have to re-enter Makkah to perform the Umrah. There is no big Umrah and small Umrah. Like there is no, people say there is going to be Hajj Akbar. Big Hajj, small Hajj. Hajj is Hajj. Yes, that Friday, when the Arafat falls on Friday, then we call that Hajj Akbar, according to the Quranic Kareem.